God, kids, you're free to go and enjoy what God has for you upstairs. And praise God. Last week, I was I spoke on a lot that went on in the history of Israel in the beginning, and where the patriarchs traveled a lot. And those of you that weren't here, fine, we'll cover a little bit of ground just to sort of reiterate a little bit, to paint a picture, and we'll finish off with a bit today where we're all going to have a bit of an interaction here. But with everywhere they went, the first thing they did when they established camp was they dug a well. Okay? So they got there, they travelled around, and the well was dug to bless them, to cause life and give them water that they needed for themselves, for their cattle, for their crops. And the amazing part about many of those wells, you know, some of them are still there today. Even Jacob's well that was dug, or it might have been dug in Joseph's era, because it was in Samaria where the land was allocated to Joseph. But it was referred to as Jacob's well. And Jesus met the woman of Samaria at where? Jacob's well. You know? So that well was not just a blessing for Jacob and his family at the time, but when Jacob dug that well, it had a blessing stream for generations. You think about that. There was a blessing stream for generations that followed. And in Jesus' time, the word tells us that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word. And what Jesus did then in digging a well of water of life, as he spoke to the woman of Samaria, if you drink of the water I shall give, it will be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. So there's a well of life provided by Jesus that has benefits for what? All future generations. Love it. It's just so important to understand that it's not just there for me. And even if I've got an experience in my life that I need to have a well for, it won't just benefit me, but my children and others around me that gain and glean from that experience. And the thing that Jesus, when he brought out the cleansing of the washing of the water by the word and the sanctifying of us, we need cleansing. And that's not just a one-off thing at salvation. Our lives are perpetually need to come before him in cleansing. We need refreshing. We need life poured out into us. And Jesus said, it will be in you a well springing up. We need to dig into a source of that well. We need to source it in our lives to ensure it's doing its job. You know, there are things that this world challenges with constantly. And we hear things and we see things and we're getting barraged with all sorts of worldly garbage. We need sanctifying and cleansing by the word. Constantly, we need to keep our focus and our hearts and our minds pure before him. Amen? Our being renewed in the spirit of our mind is part of that process. And so, can we get the picture of the tabernacle at all there from last week's messages, Darren? There's a pattern here too, and I brought it out quickly, but I want to reiterate a couple of things. When they had that tent set up in the wilderness, and then of course the following temple was greater magnitude with more and more of everything there. But the altar of sacrifice where they came and sacrificed their lambs was a type of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Then the laver of water, which is the second little piece of, in fact, it was a lot bigger than that. This is scale-wise, it was much larger than that. And the laver of water was there for people once they came and they went through various processes of cleansing at different times of sacrifice. And so there was a picture of cleansing given in the water of the laver of water. really amazing to see the picture perfect pattern God put there in the tabernacle for the church. Christ came and gave his life for us, the sacrifice, and then the word was there to purify and cleanse us, a washing of water by the word of God. And not only that, what was the next process and stage from that? It's into the tent, the holy place, the holy of holies, where God's presence was. I'm telling you, we can get saved and born again. We can even read our Bibles. But I tell you what, if we don't let that cleansing process take place, forget walking through the next section into God's presence. Because it'll be just mean. It won't have the meaning. It won't have the depth. And like there's something I wanted to go on, but I won't now. It's too much of a time. But from that picture, remembering, allow the process of the cleansing of God's word to take place in our lives. Because you can't come into the presence of God, bedraggled and wrecked by this world and its system and our own lives running amok, and expect the presence of God to be what it's meant to be in and through our lives. It'll destroy it. It'll curtail it. It'll crush it. And it won't make us be who we're meant to be in Christ. I went on to Psalm 84 last week and I talked about the Valley of Baca. Psalm 84 verses 5, 6 and 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord, in whose heart are the ways of them passing through the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca was a valley of weeping, a valley of trauma, a valley of sorrow, a valley of distress. It was a valley of all sorts of oppression. There's also other areas that we have that it could be anger and challenges and frustration and stress or tribulation in our lives. In actual fact, it's significant of anything that challenges the peace and the love of God in our lives. They pass through, it says. They don't pitch a tent and stay there. You know, a lot of people get in their traumas in life and they hang on to it. Oh, you never know what I've been through. And they pitch a tent in their valley and they stay there. The Bible says we pass through the valley. It's a challenging time, but we pass through. And it says we make it a well. Make it a well, and the rain also fills the pools of the valley floor. In other words, every area of depression is covered. Woohoo! Love it. The rain also fills the pools. Then it says, you go from strength to strength, and everyone then in Zion, in the very Holy of Holies, appears before God, has access to that very throne of grace in a way that is immeasurable. If we're being beaten and defeated, we cannot ever be what we're meant to be. But once we go from strength to strength in God, and every facet of challenge in our life we overcome, gives us the strength to stand before God as who we are in Christ Jesus. It's important. They made it a well. Don't forget, we can sometimes be a little bit obnoxious ourselves. And we can be the cause of other people's valleys. Be careful. Don't ever do that. Don't ever be the cause of other people's valleys. It's important to be sure that we're there for encouragement. I then finished off with talking about situations we have in our own life and making them a place where we dig a well. And Kerry was saying, she was reading the scriptures, and she said, I didn't look up this situation. She said, oh, they came back from a battle into a valley, I think it was, or into somewhere, and there were 70 palm trees, was it? And 12 wells. You think of that. 70 palm trees and 12 wells. Why would you need 12 wells? Well, 12 in the scripture represents the number of divine government. There were 12 disciples. You know, and God ordained that his government in our lives would be the greatest. Palm trees were always used as a branch above a palm tree, waved in victory whenever a battle was won. I'm telling you, I don't want to preach on that now, but that's a story in itself. It's just an amazing picture of what God wants for us. Let's talk about how we dig a well. I've talked about digging a well. I did last week. But how do I dig that well? What's the important part about digging a well from my perspective? First thing about digging a well, somewhere down underneath something, there's water. But we've got to get to it. And there's usually a lot of dirt and rock and hard work to get to that well. They didn't, in the days of Jacob, come along with a drill and just and get down like we can do today. They had to dig manually, and so it was hard yakka. And sometimes the dirt and the dross and the rocks that have hardened our lives and got in the way of our lives, we have to dig through and expose them and get rid of them before we can get to the source of water of life in that area. If we're going to dig a well in a situation, we need to ensure that sometimes it might expose a few things we don't want exposed in our lives. Maybe God wants to touch, put his finger on a few things we need to deal with. And that really is important. So if we're in a situation and we're going through it, we need to ensure, if we're going to make it a well, to be prepared to face the consequences of what we might uncover or what God might want to put his finger on. So that's important. So it's always down underneath somewhere. And so there's a lot of dirt sometimes we've got to get rid of. But what I want to look at is just a few examples in the Bible and go through a few things with you guys. Let's just say, for example, I've been a person traumatized by anxiety. And I want to get over this anxiety. Now, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. And yet I'm carrying this weight of anxiety. I've got to get through this. I've got to make it a well. What would I do? Any thoughts initially? Sorry? You got to, acknowledge the problem, number one. Number two, what does the word say about it? See, we're being cleansed by the washing of water by the word. If we don't get into the word, you can't dig a well. There's the important part. We've got to dig the well in the word. So the first thing I've got to find out is I might look at a reference or a concordance and I'll look up the word anxious or anxiety. And then what does the word tell me? Firstly and foremostly, be anxious about nothing. Why am I anxious then? Why am I so stressed with anxiety? The Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Then it goes on and it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, intercession, let your requests be made known to God. Firstly and foremostly, come to God with it. So we can't fight anxiety in our own strength. All right? This is where some people fall apart. We've got to dig a well. We've got to get into the water of life. We've got to find out why we're like that. I'm not giving it over to God. I'm not handing it over to Him. How do I get to the next step? Any thoughts? Fishermen should know this. Casting all your care on Him. Where does care come from? Usually it comes, or anxiety usually comes from the care and the worry of things. And then it stresses us out and we become anxious over things, or we can't let go of the scenario. And the Bible says, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. So I've got to work out how to cast it over. So first, by prayer and supplication, I let my request be made known to God. I say, Father God, I realize that Jesus came at Calvary. And the burden that He carried was the burdens that I would face in life. These are the things. This is, I'm digging a well. I'm trying to get through things. I'm bringing it to God in prayer. I'm expressing my, Lord, these feelings have been just traumatizing me. This anxiety has been really, you know. And God, you know I need to be free of this. And you came to set the captive free. And I've been captivated by it. Where did I get that from? The well of the water of the word. Casting my care. So, Lord, I want this care. I'm handing it over to you, Lord God. I just know I've got to give it over to you. Now, if you're going to hand care over to God, Don't be like the fisherman who casts out a line and he hauls it back in. You know, some people have done that. I've seen that over the years. People have been so worried about something. They come for prayer and they get prayed for and they, oh, I just feel so much better now. And they go outside and they start worrying again. They've picked up their care. They haven't left it at the feet of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. They pick it up and carry it again. If you're going to cast it away, leave it there. Leave it there. Never pick it up again. Because he cares for us. He wants us to. What does Jesus do with it? Is he going to take your care and go, oh, no. No, he's not carrying the care. Because he's seated at the right hand of the Father with all things where? Under his feet, in submission and subjection to his amazing, powerful name. And we recognize that when we give that over to Jesus. We can go into that word. We can get that stress level down. We can realize that God's taken care of it. We can hand it over to him. He's taken care of it completely. We can then walk in the confidence that he's now got it in his hands. That's totally under control. Now, I get outside and something attacks me and I start to feel like anxiety. Now, that doesn't belong to me anymore. That's at the foot of Jesus. I've got a well. Satan, you can't hit me with that one again. I've got a well. Be careful. I've got a water of life that takes care of that one. You can see how experiences and how you're digging into and digging a well of life for every situation in your life. There are so many things that as a young person growing up, I guess I fought through battles and like every young bloke and temptations and trials. And then one day God taught me who I was in Christ Jesus. And I began to do, and I didn't realize that I was digging wells. But now whenever that same temptation comes along, even though I'm a bit older and a bit more mature, there are still parallels or other intensities of temptation and trials that come into my life. I've got a well. Because I fought and dug back then. I dug into the Word of God and I found out what the Word said about situations. And I can say, you can't hit me with that one, Satan, you clown. What do you think? I'm just going to paste you with the Word of God in that situation in the name of Jesus. And out, it just pours out of me because it's there. Because it's there. I don't have to go, oh, what am I going to do with this one now? No, I've dug a well. I got a water of life. And Jesus said, if you drink of the water I shall give, it will be in you a well. So I've got a well. I don't worry. I don't stress. I remember when we first got married and you know, you've always got things like money problems and other things that you're trying to get rid of or get through and establish your life and do things. I remember Lek one day, she says, you really annoy me. You just don't worry about anything, do you? I said, what's the point of worrying? I hand my care over to God. I said, I don't take it. I said, worry's a sin. Why should I worry when I've got the God of heaven on my side? He'll take care of all my needs according to his riches in glory. Well, you never told me that before. I said, well, let's just take it to the Lord and you won't worry anymore either. I went, we've never had a stress since. Why? Because we got a well. We got a well. It's amazing. How about patience? Everyone's got a lot of patience, haven't they? Or the lack of it, one or the other. Patience. Now, Bible tells us that, you know, patience is actually a fruit of the Spirit. But is all the fruit of the Spirit fully developed in my life? I'd like to think it was, but I've got to be honest. No. There are times when situations cause a little bit of a conflict there. What I should be and what I am. But see, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, prior to the fruit of the Spirit in that scripture in the Bible is the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Read them out. Have a look through them at some stage. Work out what is a work of the flesh. And you, sometimes people have come to me and said, oh, I just want God to deliver me from something or other. And I'm going, what's a work of the flesh? You need to repent. God's already taken care of that. You just got to repent. Oh, because it's a work of the flesh. And you know, because you've got the works of the flesh in manifestation, the fruit of the Spirit can't grow. Deal with one and the other will be fine. But what does fruit need to develop and grow? It needs nourishment and it needs water. So you're going to get the fruit of the Spirit living in your life to take care of a patience problem. You dig a well in the scriptures regarding patience. There's the nourishment in the word and there's the water of the word, which will both develop our lives to bring the fruits into effect. It's just so important to get the word of God into our lives and get that well of the life that Jesus said into us. He also said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Where does the fruit usually grow? On the branches. So if we're not tapped into the vine, which is the source of life, who is Jesus, don't expect any fruit. Get that relationship into an absolute full ebb and flow situation. The fruit will take care of itself then. Now you're sort of dealing with patience. The only problem is with patience, it takes time for fruit to mature. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruits. So they all need to be developing together as one. Some people say, oh, you know, I've got a lot of love and I've got a lot of faith, but I just got no patience or temperance. Or, well, hang on a minute. No, there's something wrong here. Because they need to develop together. The fruit is a package deal. And it's got to grow together. And so when you look at gentleness or long-suffering or goodness or meekness or temperance or some of the other fruits, I don't see them working without patience. Temperance, strength under control. How does that work without patience? Because, you know, without patience, Moses could have been the meekest man, or meekness, temperance, strength under control. They said he was the meekest man that ever lived. He had to have a lot of patience with those people to exercise that meekness. So it had to be all there together, you know? In James, I think it is, it says, let patience have its full and perfect work and complete work in your life. Allow patience to develop fully, because so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So you find what the scripture says, and suddenly you find out, hang on a minute, I've got to tap into the source of the nourishment and life to get the fruit to grow. We don't have any excuse not to be patient. None at all. It's provided in the source of life, which is Jesus Christ. And if he's given us of himself by his Spirit, if it's not there, somewhere we're severed from the vine and severed from the nourishment and severed from the water. Start getting into it. Start looking at it. Start getting that development there. And then when your patience is tried later on and you want to arc up, you can say, hang on, I've got a well. I got a well of the water of life. I've got a well of the nourishment of God's word. That fruit has developed in my life. I have no longer got an excuse to be impatient, because I know that through the well that I've dug and through the life that I've allowed to generate within me, Jesus said that well is springing up into everlasting life. There's a well. But that well has got to be dug into. We've got to get rid of some of the dirt and the dross. That's pretty amazing. And then it says that you may be perfect and entire, lacking or wanting in nothing or having no voids in any area of your life. Whoa. That's a pretty amazing picture, isn't it? We'd all be perfect. We'd all be angelic. I remember being in college when a guy named Des Short from New Zealand came across and he was preaching on, we are his workmanship, created after God in Christ Jesus. He said the word workmanship is the same word as used when an artist creates a masterpiece. And I'm sitting in the front row. And he came up and he's going, you know, God's work has created a masterpiece. And of course, I'm sitting in the front row and I've gone. And all the rest of the students in college cracked up laughing. And then afterwards, they're always teasing me. They're going, how's the little masterpiece going? You know, and every time something went wrong and I was not quite the masterpiece, well, how's your masterpiece life going? I wanted to sin and get forgiveness later, you know what I mean? But it really is a get into the word challenge. When we see what God has done for us in that word, we are without excuse, the Bible tells us. And the world and the people in the world have no excuse either. And so, much less us. We have got the source there. Are we digging it up? Are we getting into it? Are we making the most of the word of life? One of a lot of people have had to deal with. I remember there's a preacher walking through the bush. And I think I've told this story. And as he's gone through, he's pushed on a branch, not realizing the guy behind him was really in close proximity when he let the branch go. And the branch has come back and whoop. And he let go with a few very coarse expletives. And he turned around and the preacher's turned around to this guy and he's gone, "What was that?" And the fellow says, "Oh, sorry, that just slipped out." He says, "No, it didn't just slip out. The Bible tells me from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So if you've got a dirty mouth, you've got a dirty heart. You need to repent. And that guy was, you know, quite embarrassed, of course, because this is a visiting minister, by the way, that they decided to take a bushwork on a walk on a church camp that I was at. And off they went for a bushwork with this visiting guest preacher who'd pushed through a branch and bang, some guys let it all hang out the wrong way. Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for edifying." Is what I am saying good for edifying? Am I short and abrupt with people? Am I curt and am I callous? Or have I got a voice that's demeaning to some people? And that can be easy to do. You know, we've got laws in this land that talk about racism. And all that sort of, they've had to bring in laws to stop people calling people other names and all that sort of thing. That's futile. It's got to come from a heart. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you love somebody, you don't demean them. You don't callously talk about them. You don't put them down. It's our speech is to build up and to edify and to encourage, the word says. Let no corrupt communication, but govern it by an edifying communication. So ask yourself, was that edifying to that person? Was that edifying to me? Because, you know, we're taken by the words of our own mouth. We're snared by the words of our own mouth. They bring us undone as well, and they corrupt us internally because it exacerbates the dirty heart with the dirty mouth. Or the hard heart with the hard mouth, or the callous heart with the callous mouth, whatever it may be. We need to dig into the Word of God and get these facts out before if we're trying to say, "God, deliver me from this," God's going, "I've given you the source of life. Dig the well. Dig the well. Dig the well. God set me free from something. Dig the well. Dig the well." Your freedom comes. Freedom comes. It's freedom is there. If we dig the well. So we need to ensure that it's godly, it's edifying, it's not demeaning to myself, to God, or to others. The Bible says, "Put away from you a froward mouth," which is undisciplined vocabulary. David wrote the words, and I love it, even in a song that we sing, "Let the words of my mouth," or Boney M put it out, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart." Notice that it said, words of my mouth, meditation of my heart. Isn't it interesting that the heart and the mouth go together? Another scripture that says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See how the two are intertwined? It really is a digging of a well of life that we can then just take care of things in our life. Discipline comes from being disciplined by the word and through the word and in the word. I think it's amazing. And if we can get ourselves into a position where we dig a well, we can take care of things in our life that are perhaps not so edifying to others. The Bible says the tongue is an unruly member, full of deadly poison and is set on fire of hell. We don't need or want that. We've got to take care of it. We've got to have it seen to. Bible also says when we're talking about things like that, let have your feet shod, putting on the armor with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel is what we tell. It's what we speak. It's what we preach. If we want to be people that preach and share the gospel, get it in order. Get it in order. We can't be double-minded. We're unstable in all our ways. We're either going to preach the gospel or we're going to demean the gospel. Take your pick. We need to dig into the water of the word. We're not going to only see the water at the end of the word of the well, but we're going to see how much dirt we've had to dig out that's been covering the water in the process. And that's an important part that we have to be prepared to take on board when we know we've got to deal with an issue in our lives, when we know we've got to dig a well in a situation where we know we've had traumas or where we've had anxieties or whether we've had stresses or whether we've had temptations or whether we've had other things going on in our lives that we know are not godly and conducive to full godliness. We need to then say, okay, Lord, I am prepared to do whatever it takes to get this out of my life, that my life will bring glory to your name. And it's not going to be easy. I don't think I overcame anything overnight. It wasn't a magic potion. It wasn't an instant trick. The only time that ever that became such a reality was when my son said, Dad, you always get angry. And I said, right, I will never again. And I repented and took it before the Lord. And I went into the scriptures on anger. You know, that day was a changed day in my life. No arcing up from that time on. Why? I had a well. But I dug that one pretty quick, I can tell you. I was not going to walk that way any longer and create problems for my kids. And so there's always a cost and there's always a lot of hard work involved. But digging a well and getting into the word is the only way to get that water of life into the situation that needs to take care of whatever it is in our lives that God is putting his finger on. It's important. It's important. Take up the challenge. Be prepared. Do the hard yards. Do the hard work. Be prepared to dig away the dirt. Be prepared to get rid of the hard rocks. Be prepared to find the source of life in every situation. Blessed is the man or woman whose strength is in thee, yet in whose heart are the ways of them going through trauma, distress, anxiety, temptation, or whatever it may be. Make that place of life a well. Make it a well. And then it says they go from strength to strength to strength. The Bible says we all with open face, beholding the Lord as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's an ongoing process. We're constantly being renewed by the Spirit of God to reflect his glory. I got a little song we've never sung here. We got the words of it up there, mate. I don't know if this is plugged in or on, but I'll leave it there just in case I don't want to do anything else. I gave it to Mash earlier. We got that one. I yield myself to... Does anyone know this? It goes like this. Is that guitar turned up back there or not? Don't turn up too much, but anyway, just enough to... get a little bit of sound there. Is it there? That's it. I yield myself to thee as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I yield myself to thee as a living sacrifice, holy and
acceptable to God. Bind me to the altar with the cords of thy pure love. Let thy grace enable me to stand. I yield my heart and mind and will to thee, O Lord my God, and pray thy life in mine be glorified. Oh, God, to the top again. I yield myself to thee as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I yield myself to thee as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Bind me to the altar with the cords of thy pure love. Let thy grace enable me to stand. I yield my heart and mind and will to thee, O Lord my God, and pray thy life in mine be glorified.
Now, songs like that take me back to times when God was just changing lives, when people brought themselves before him with that type of an attitude and sung songs like that. We had altar calls, just people laying at the front, just giving themselves afresh to God and repenting and changing and crying out and calling on God to change their lives. And we need to do that. Yield ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Be bound to the altar with the cords of his love. Let his grace enable us to stand. You know, when Paul said that he had a temptation in the flesh, that was, he said, there was given to me. God didn't give it to him, by the way. There was an enemy of his soul was at work, and he was clear on that. But he said there was assigned to me, is probably a little more like it, a temptation in his flesh. And he said, three times I sought the Lord that it would depart from me. He's going, God, take this away, take it away. And you know what God said to him? My grace is sufficient for you. Take care of it yourself. That's exactly what he was saying. Yeah, I've given you grace, take care of it, you clown. Sometimes we expect God to do it all for us. But God puts us in our place and he says, my grace is sufficient. And that's exactly what we need to do with God's grace, is dig a well and get the water of life into the situation. You'd be surprised in how many times the dramas and the problems of life are taken care of so much more easily when we change it from the inside out, not try to correct it from the outside in. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that we can dig into your word of life and we can find the source and the resources that we need for every given situation in this life that would challenge us, that would try to undermine your word and to undermine who you are in us. And today, Lord God, I pray every life here would be determined to dig a well, to find the sources of life that are necessary to take care of every attack of the enemy and to curtail every aspect of the life of the flesh. to bring it all into subjection to the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.